This season of Raised Sports is brought to you in partnership with the Dominic Fouts Memorial Cancer Fund. This is personal for me. Dominic Fouts, we called him Nick, was my cousin. He died of colon cancer in 2012 at the age of 34, and his sister Suzanne started this foundation in Nick's honor. We all know that the cost of cancer treatment is quite a burden, and that's what the Dom Fouts Fund does. It helps provide financial assistance to cancer patients and their families. So support the Dom Fouts Fund and help families deal with the costs of cancer treatment. For more information, go to domfoutsfund.org.
Not only was he such a good person and so helpful and not judgmental and kind to everybody, he was always there for all of us. There was five of us, and he was always there, always at our events.
In April of 2020, my father, Tim Harkins, died of cancer. This is a tribute to him. Episode 3, Loyalty.
You can come and stay with Nana and Papa and go to Gonzaga, and we'll have your own key to the house, and I'm sure your folks will buy you a car, and then you'll have plenty of beer in the fridge. You can bring your friends over anytime.
Beer?
And we'll have study hours from 7 to 9.
This is my dad talking to my daughter, Tegan, in 2006. She was less than a month old at the time and just tiny in his arms. She and her twin brother Jordan had just been born about 5 weeks premature, and Dad is already recruiting her to his alma mater, Gonzaga University.
I'll fix up your own room for you with plenty of Gonzaga pennants and, Gonzaga lampshades.
Lampshades?
Mm-hmm. Nana will embroider it for you.
You had to pay her tuition as well?
No, I don't think so.
I should also mention that while Dad is recruiting my infant daughter, promising her beer, a car, and a room filled with Gonzaga lampshades, I guess, he is wearing a Gonzaga polo shirt, which has the logo of their bulldog mascot inches from her face. If you couldn't tell, Dad loved Gonzaga. And that's understandable. Gonzaga is where he met Mom. It's where he made a large group of friends that he was close with his entire life. It's where he would graduate from and then return to earn a law degree at Gonzaga Law School. And it's where he devoted more than a half century of intense sports fandom. But this love for Gonzaga did not actually start with my dad. It goes back a tiny bit further than that, to his older sister, my Aunt Kathleen. She went to Gonzaga first. A year later, she was thrilled when my dad decided to follow her from Tacoma to Spokane.
I was absolutely over the moon ecstatic that he was coming. And so started out together with the two of us, his freshman year, my sophomore year. You know, I mean, we didn't hang out all the time, but we hung out a fair amount of time, would run into each other on the way to classes and at meals and that. And Gonzaga was a family. It was a small school, and we were a family.
In addition to being a family, Gonzaga is where Dad would make a transition from young athlete to adult sportsman. Mom recalls Dad playing mush ball, which is sort of a derivation of softball, and smashing home runs over the cafeteria roof. She says he enjoyed the physical sports, like rugby. And in recent years, we learned that he was a good enough intramural quarterback to earn the nickname Threadneedle. This was also the beginning of his love for Gonzaga hoops.
Paul, eight to shoot. Paul, the runner! Loose ball! It's good!
Select John Stockton of Gonzaga.
Adam Morrison, National Player of the Year candidate.
The right spot. Kronowski says, get that out of here.
The slipper still fits. They win it. 73-70.
Gonzaga basketball now is well known as a power, consistently considered a national title contender, consistently sending players to the NBA. But long before Sabonis and Olynyk, before Karnowski and Morrison, even before the great John Stockton, Dad was a fan. When Gonzaga started going to the NCAA tournament, Dad would pick the Bulldogs to win his bracket. He did this every year, well before it was fashionable to do so. And I remember teasing him about it. Thank you once again for your money, sir. But that never stopped him. And when they started getting really good later on, his fandom only grew more intense. He was on all the recruiting websites, the message boards. He'd go watch their off-season pickup games in person. He knew everything that was going on with this team. And more than anything, Dad was there at the games, first as a student and then as a longtime season ticket holder. I remember those games so well, filing into our seats close behind the visitors' bench at Martin Center and later the McCarthy Center. Dad would sit and watch, very calm, almost serene. He'd just quietly analyze the game, explaining to whoever was sitting next to him what was going on and what needed to happen for Gonzaga to win the game. My sister Allison calls this the analysis, a term her husband Adam came up with to kind of sum up the experience of attending a game with Dad.
Usually we watch a game, Adam will ask me, so does your dad have any analysis on that one? Because he did. He always had thoughts on what's done well and what's not done well. And because he'd sit there, you know, a couple rows up, and he'd always have pointers on, oh, they did this, or they did that, or they should do this, or maybe they should do that. He'd be analyzing it like the whole time, not just watching it for fun, but really looking at the game. So apparently he's done that with Adam too.
My sister Bridget has similar memories.
He would like sit there during the whole game with his arms crossed across his chest, watch the game. And what he would do is sit there and just talk to me the whole time. Tell me what's going on. Explain the game. Explain what happened. He'd be like, you see that guy right there? He needs to do this. Or man, they haven't seen that he does this move every time he comes down the court. You know? It was just, I don't know. I thought that was cool because then we were having fun and I was learning about the game, which made it way more interesting to me. And then I was getting into it.
Dad was sharing his love for Gonzaga and for basketball. And he was also, whether he really knew it or not in the moment, coaching. And this is something he would do for us his entire life in sports and beyond. Dad coached all of us growing up, mostly in basketball at All Saints, a K-8 Catholic school on Spokane's South Hill. He wasn't easy on us. We all remember running a lot of lines. But he was fair, although maybe, at least in our eyes when we were kids, not always that fair. He made it clear that being his son or daughter would not come with any special treatment. My brother Paul remembers distinctly the injustice he felt when Dad would make him scrimmage with the second team during practice, even though he would get to start in the games. He never seemed to quite buy the explanation that Dad wanted him to help the backups play better. Bridget recalls Dad making an example of her once when she had to leave practice early to go to a dress rehearsal for the Nutcracker Ballet, even though that decision had been officially approved by Mom and by Dad himself.
Mom and Dad decided that I should go to practice for a little bit, and then I would leave and go to my ballet dress rehearsal. And he pushed me really hard at practice, and then because I had to leave early, he made me do, I don't know if it was just one set, but at least one set of lines by myself in front of everybody because I had to leave early. I think I cried. But then I think later he was like, well, I can't treat you special. You know, I can't give you special treatment over the other girls.
And my sister Katie remembers being upset too, but not because Dad came down on her, because he was tough on her friends, And she found that really humiliating.
She was pretty strict. Made my friends run a lot of laps and a lot of lines if we weren't in line. And it was embarrassing. I told him if he ever coached me again, I wouldn't play. Because I was like, you're making my friends do lines.
Now, the picture I have painted here might make Dad seem like he pushed us pretty hard. And he certainly did, but it wasn't that one-dimensional. Yes, he had lessons to teach us. Lessons about hard work and fairness and more. And yes, he wanted us to be our best. But he was also understanding, and he knew when to back off. Paul tells a story that illustrates this. It was back at All Saints, and Dad was coaching him. Paul used to get teased for having big ears. You know what he'd hear, Dumbo and other things middle school kids might say. And one time at practice, the teasing became more than Paul could take, and he kind of exploded. There was a bit of a scuffle, and Paul was expecting to get in trouble over the whole thing, but he didn't. Dad let it go.
He just had a way of, you know, whether you're in a fight with somebody or not, well, a way of not coming down hard on you when you're already, you know, getting your ass kicked anyway. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He knew when you were. He didn't know how to stop it always, but he knew when you were. He knew not to pile on if you were messing up. You know, he could diffuse it. And, you know, and for me, for whatever reason, for whatever I'm upset about, the world's ending, you know, talk you down and make you realize that it's not a big deal. Or
yeah.
It's a big deal and he understands and he respects how much you care or your emotion for the situation. But, you know, but I'm here for you and I love you and, you know, you'll grow into those years.
This was Dad. Tough? Yes. Making sure we knew that things weren't always going to go our way? Absolutely. But also knowing us so well. Fair, understanding, empathetic. Like the analysis Dad would give while watching Gonzaga basketball games, he was always willing to give advice or tips. And if you asked him, he'd give it to you in a straightforward, honest, thoughtful way. Examples of this are plenty. When Bridget was playing volleyball in high school and she realized that setter was the position where she would have the best opportunity, Dad told her she should practice her setting against the side of the house. When Allison ran track and cross country, he would sometimes go on runs with her and encourage her to raise her game in the finer points of successful distance running.
The one thing he did do was he tried to always teach me how to spit because I couldn't do it. I would end up like spitting on myself, but he would always like, oh no, you got to do this. You got to like spit out.
And I think he worked with everyone at one point or another on the basketball court across the street from our house, teaching us the tricks of defense, like how to tug on someone's shorts when they're going up for a shot, or how to pull leg hairs when they're backing you down in the post. And always, always learn to use your offhand.
Across the street, he was like always told me, Dad, Paul, you got to be able to go left. You got to be able to go left. You can never, you know, you can't just rely on your right hand. You got to be able to go left. And so I would practice and practice and practice and practice. And then I told him once, I go, Dad, I don't know how to go right anymore.
Told me to always go left. Not regarding to sports, I think. Just always go left.
what in regards to what else other than basketball?
I don't know. But he said it to me even outside of sports. So.
Bridget mentions things outside of sports too, and this is key because Dad always had wisdom to share in other areas as well. He often seemed to know when we needed a push. That is what happened with Allison. Allison started working for Dad at his law office when she was in high school. He taught her how to handle billing and filing and things like that, but it went further than that. He actually put her to work doing legal research.
He had a custody dispute between the U.S. and Canada, where one parent was in Canada and one was here. So it involved the Hague Convention, and he wanted me to research cases on that, on those issues. And at the time, it's all through the books. So he sent me over to Gonzaga Law Library with a sandwich bag full of dimes for copying.
She scoured stacks of books, looking for past cases that might apply, maybe even dozing off occasionally, but eventually making a bunch of copies and bringing it all back to Dad. And later...
And I think they won. It was an appellate brief, so it wasn't lower level. It was the appeals court. And he sent me a copy of it, and he's like, you helped me with this brief. You did all the research. And I said, well, I got you a couple cases. I didn't do all the research for you, but I think that made him happy that he was able to teach me that.
This set the stage for later when, graduating from Santa Clara University, Allison was kind of unsure what she wanted to do. She moved back home to Spokane and was trying to figure things out. And she mentioned at one point that maybe she might want to go to law school, but she wasn't necessarily confident about it.
When I was wondering about taking the test to get into law school, he's like, just do it. Just do it, because, you know, you can always quit if you don't like it. But he knew I don't quit things, so.
That's
so
true.
When I was on the fence, he pushed me towards it, which is great. But, you know, he knew I don't just quit. Like, I wouldn't just quit in the middle of law school or something.
Right.
You know, I'm going to finish it, and then I'm going to do the work afterward. So he's like, just take the test, just do it, just apply. Like, you'll do great.
Allison went on to practice law for 16 years, before only recently deciding to take a break. Dad was always there, and Mom too, always attending our events in person, whether in sports or whatever we were into, always cheering us on and supporting us, always ready with some analysis or advice or help or a push in the right direction.
Not only was he such a good person and so helpful and not judgmental and kind to everybody, he was always there for all of us. There was five of us, and he was always there, always at our events.
This continued into the next generation as well. And not just in recruiting the grandkids to Gonzaga. It was so much more than that. When Tegan would later show a talent for painting, Dad commissioned her to create one for him. And when her brother Jordan got into musical theater, Mom and Dad came to Los Angeles to watch him perform. And for those who got into sports, there was really a special bond. This was especially true for Katie's kids, Sanendra and Ollie, who are the older grandkids, and particularly for Ollie, who took to basketball and baseball, two sports Dad really loved. Here's a voicemail Dad left for them that Katie shared with me.
Hello, this is Papa. I just wanted to try and say hello to Ollie, because I heard that he hit two home runs the other day. And anyhow, I thought that was great. And Sanendra, how are you doing? Anyhow, talk to you later. Bye.
Here's Katie.
The last basketball game he saw of Ollie's was at the beginning of December this year. And, you know, Ollie got some good playing time this year. So that was nice. So Dad was able to see him play. And, you know, Ollie's a small kid. So his biggest piece of advice is, you know, try to get that outside shot. You know, and that's where that step back comes in. Step back and shoot.
Always bring in the analysis.
Like every time you would come visit us, or every time you would go there, we'd go down to the park or we'd play out, you know, on the back patio here. And Dad always actively, you know, would spend, you know, at least an hour out there taking shots with him or actively playing defense. You know, he's big into fouling and pulling down shorts and shirts. And sometimes we would team up, you know, and it would be Jesse and Ollie against Dad and I. And I think I got my fouling from Dad. So we were more the rough and tumble team. Those two couldn't get a shot off.
During that last week with Dad in Spokane, my Aunt Kathleen called me. And during the course of our talk, she pondered, where was she going to get her Gonzaga news? She lives in Western Washington, and Dad, over the years, even over the decades, had remained her main connection to the school, to the basketball team, to the Gonzaga family. And this struck me as significant. And so recently, I asked her about that comment, and this is what she said.
Either I'd call him or he'd call me, and we'd be chatting, and I'd say, okay, tell me, what kind of a team are we going to have this year? And so he would know every kid who had been out on the court and whether he was going to actually make the team and where he had come from and all his stats, and he'd fill me in, and I'd actually be taking notes so that I could keep everything straight.
And then a little later on, she said this.
What keeps running through my brain and through my heart, actually, is that I think it's a family thing. I think Gonzaga created a family for us when we were there, and you never leave it. And if you're lucky enough to be right there with it your entire adult life, you hang on to the family.
It's a family thing. Isn't that so true? And whether it was Gonzaga, or his friends, or his siblings, or his kids, or his grandchildren, Dad was always there, analyzing, pushing, guiding, encouraging. You hang on to family. That's loyalty. This episode was written and produced by me, Bob Harkins. Special thanks to Bridget Porter, Kathleen Keeney, Allison Lauritsen, Katie Hancock, and Paul Harkins for taking part in this episode. And also to my mom for everything. The theme song comes from Corbin Kites. Other music by Kwan, Diala, and Unicorn Heads. This season of Raised Sports comes to you in partnership with the Dominic Fouts Cancer Fund. For more information, go to domfoutsfund.org. Raised Sports is a proud member of the Storyhanger Podcast Network.